And so I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Well, I'm pretty sure that got their attention, but it's hardly the best way to win friends or influence people, calling them names. And yet John was not interested in making friends that day. He was not seeking to cultivate relationships with the high and the mighty that might gain him influence or notoriety. No, John was interested in only one thing, preparing folks for the coming of Messiah. It was the calling that he had been born for, to make a people ready for the Lord. And in this Advent season, as we are called to consider Jesus' coming to us not only here and now in word and sacrament, but also when he comes at the end of time in glory, in this Advent season, as we think about that, we do well to look at how John prepared the people of old, for it may tell us how we need to prepare as well. So John is the last of the Old Testament prophets. He was sent out into the wilderness around the Jordan River, and he proclaimed, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And here's the amazing thing. People actually listened to him. They came to him in droves from all Judea, from Jerusalem, from everywhere. They came from all walks of life, soldiers, tax collectors, common folk, rich, poor, young, old. They came confessing their sins, and they were baptized for the forgiveness of those sins. John announced that there was one coming who would baptize them with the Holy Spirit and fire, who would give them new life, who would fulfill all of God's promises of old to deliver his people and restore them and bring them back to himself. Heaven is at hand. It's here, John said. We are standing right at the edge of the change. Can you feel it? Can you sense it? Be ready. Repent. Now, I think it's hard for us to imagine what that must have been like. All that anticipation, all that excitement. People asking themselves, in fact, whether or not John might, in fact, be the Messiah. People looking expectantly to see the glory of the Lord. I don't know that with us there is any real sense of something big just about to happen. I mean, sure, we get anxious for the holidays. I know there are plenty of young people who can't wait for Christmas to get here. And maybe we can get caught up in wondering what's going to happen next with our culture, what's going to happen next in the world, anticipating not so much the good, but fearfully wondering what could possibly happen next. But that's not what drove those people out into the wilderness to get baptized. It was not fear as such. Rather, they heard that heaven was at hand, and they heard it from one who they considered a credible source, and so they wanted to be ready. John said, repent. Now, we're familiar with the word. Literally translates from the Greek as having another mind about your life, about the way you are living, the way you speak, the way you behave. Before, right, you were okay with your life, you were satisfied, and now in repentance you have another mind about yourself. You see your sin. You see your half-hearted faith, and you hate it, right? You don't want to be like that. You see your life's a bit of a wreck, and those words from confession, "I, a poor, miserable sinner," strike home. You accept that your heart really is desperately wicked. The author, William Faulkner, once remarked that if a man wasn't disgusted with himself at least a couple of times a week, he probably wasn't being honest. Repentance means seeing your sin, your fault, your guilt, and being ashamed of it, so that you want to be free of it. You want to turn away from it. You see your need for a new and different life. For in your old life, you find you have no fitness for heaven, no fitness for the Lord. You are the rough place, right? You are the crooked path. You are filled with dark valleys of bitterness and sin. You have high peaks of arrogance and pride. And the Lord is coming to you. Will he come to you to bless or to judge? Repent, turn around, seek forgiveness, be washed, be made new. That was John's preaching. And there was no time to waste, no time to argue about it. Now was the time. John said there may not be a tomorrow. There might not be a second chance. Now, in the old days, we'd say that John was something of a hellfire and damnation preacher, right? I mean, even now the axe is at the root of the tree to chop down everyone that's not fruitful and throw it into the fire. Even now the Lord's coming with the winnowing fork in his hand, ready to separate the wheat from the chaff and burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. And you might say, well, gosh, why is he so fierce? Well, because it's a matter of life and death. You don't have a soft-spoken and reasoned conversation with a child who's playing at the edge of a cliff. You are urgent, you are direct, you are loud. Get away from there. John was loud and direct. And the people listened. Well, at least many of the people listened. There were those who did not listen. And we'll meet them again during Holy Week when Jesus points out to them their hypocrisy. They saw sinners repenting and being baptized. They saw heaven claiming sons and daughters through John the Baptist. For sinners were turning, they were repenting, they were being forgiven. And is that not the very will of God? The Pharisees and the Sadducees saw all that happening. They were the ruling elite of Jerusalem. They saw God's work with their own eyes, but what? They refused to be a part of it. They didn't think they needed to repent. They didn't think they needed forgiveness. They saw themselves as good religious folk. Brood of vipers, filled with poison. They thought their works made them right with God, and they taught other people the same thing. They did not bear the fruit of repentance, which is nothing less than faith in God and Christ for the forgiveness of sins and life. And it turns out that same danger threatens us. We can become good religious folk if we are not careful. And it begins subtly. We say our prayers, we go to church regularly, we help out when we can, we make contributions. After a while, we can get to thinking, you know, we're doing what we're supposed to do. We're being pretty good people, even if we aren't perfect, right? We're at least better off than we were. We're certainly not as bad as others that we can think of. And suddenly, it seems like, well, we're just not that bad. I mean, certainly we're not miserable sinners. That's a little over the top. Certainly, we're not blasphemous haters of God. And when that happens, when that thought begins to take root in us, the thought that we're not so bad after all, then what? Then we no longer sense the need to repent. We can get to thinking we're ready. We're good enough for heaven. We have what we need. We don't seek to turn. We don't seek after forgiveness. We don't trust God's word and his son, his promises. And instead, we trust in ourselves and in our own works. Luther once said that if a person got to thinking that he or she wasn't so bad, so the desire for Holy Communion and its consolation and forgiveness began to fade, it was to be feared that person was no longer a Christian. On the other hand, if we are to understand what sort of people we really are by nature, if we see ourselves in the mirror of the Word, then we will run to the sacrament and demand to be fed, for it is grace, the assurance of love, the source of life and forgiveness. It is God come to us in Christ with mercy. Repent. The kingdom is at hand. And that's the other part of John's preaching. And that's what we are preparing for. We repent as we look to Jesus' return. We confess our sins, we receive forgiveness, and we recognize heaven is at hand. It is here, it is so close that we can almost see, almost hear, almost feel it. One of the radical aspects of the church's life is her insistence that the night is far gone, that the day is almost here. Now, we've been preaching that for about 2,000 years now, but we still mean it. Why? Because Jesus is here. His love is here, his grace is here, and that is his kingdom. As people forgive and are reconciled, as sinners begin to turn around, as the poor and needy are helped, as the word is proclaimed, the kingdom is all around us. Jesus comes with the Holy Spirit to bring faith and life, and we see that all around us as people are baptized, as the fearful are made strong, as the meek are lifted up, as doubters are given conviction, as the word does its work to gather us in Christ. Indeed, the kingdom is at work here, here in Christ, the one who died to take away our sin, who is raised to bring us life, the kingdom is at hand in him. So let us give up trying to be good religious folk. Let's confess our sins, repent, receive forgiveness, and walk in heaven's light. The kingdom is at hand. Christ is come to baptize us with the Holy Spirit and fire to give us new and everlasting life. Receive his gifts and rejoice and hear the voice that cries out to you. Prepare the way of the Lord. Alleluia. Amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.